you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. Today, it's time for episode number 66, and you can find all the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/66. This episode is all about exercise in one specific form that's my favorite and has the greatest correlation with overall health and performance. And if a drug had even a fraction of these benefits, it'd be a multi-billion dollar drug. That form of movement is resistance training, and a subset of resistance training where the load you're lifting varies throughout the range of motion. As we discussed in the episode, if you don't have a gym near you, you're not a member, you don't have much time, or you just want a safer way to get the benefits of strength training and tap into the whole world of muscle-centric medicine, this is one powerful option. Khaled Bourabi is a professor of mathematics at the City University of New York, specializing in geometric and combinatorial group theory. He holds a BA in mathematics from Rice University and a PhD in mathematics from the University of Chicago. When COVID hit and gyms closed down, Khaled, unsatisfied with existing home gym solutions, founded Harambe System. In this conversation, we talk about variable resistance training, how it relates to conventional strength or free weight training, and what sets his system apart. It's a little more technical than usual. I asked him to define some of the terms that I didn't understand, so bear with us, and if you have any questions, reach out to me or Khaled directly, and we'll be happy to help you out. If you want a visual of what we're talking about, I did record a YouTube video of my initial thoughts and impressions after I had been using the system for a little while. That, like everything else, will be in the show notes. If you want to get your own home gym in a box, as I call it, your own Harambe system, they have some bundle deals going on right now, all available through their website. And when you enter the code URBAN, that'll save you 15% on your order. All right. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation on the rapidly growing variable resistance training style. Khaled, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, Nick.
We first connected about almost a year ago, nine months ago, when I was doing my research into the best variable resistance training systems out there. I came across Harambe, and I was impressed. So I'm looking forward to discussing that today.
Oh, me too. Me too. I remember our first conversation. That was great. Things are very different now compared to then with where the company's at and everything. But yeah, so it'll be great to catch up. I'm really looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
First, start out with a summary for, say, someone in their maybe 20s that knows what resistance training is, they know some of the benefits, perhaps they have a gym membership, perhaps they don't. And without going to the science yet, just to hook their attention, say you're in the elevator with them.
Okay, so Harambe system is a system that will allow you to do almost anything you can do with a barbell and free weights, and you'll get all the benefits and effectiveness of that, except it fits under your bed. Mm. That's the main thing. And it's the best at that. It's the highest quality system you can get. And the most effective. That's my quick pitch of the system.
That's why I chose it to begin with, and I got my very own Harambe system. And now, before we go into the specifics of what sets your engineering apart and what makes this the highest quality system on the market, can you tell me about variable resistance training in general and how that differs from, say, walking into the gym, loading up a barbell with some plates, and doing traditional squats?
Yeah. So let's say you're doing a bicep curl. Let's just focus on that example. So with a bicep curl with weights, When you start out, you're always holding 20 pounds. But then you'll notice if you're doing a bicep curl that as you get to the top, see your elbow is like somewhere under the weight, and it's more under the weight, it actually feels easier to do the last bit of the lift. Whereas the bottom of the lift is somewhat difficult because you're fully stretched in that. And so what's happening is the muscle itself is not feeling a constant force because it's easier in some parts of the movement. Instead, you use a band. So you say you take a handle, and we do saw handles, and you attach a band to the handle and you do the same movement. It actually, the band stretches further as you pull away from the point, the anchor point. So what happens is as your fist goes up higher, it actually gets heavier. The bicep itself feels a more constant amount of force as you're lifting all the way to the top. And so that, but the actual weight that your hand feels, so it's gonna be different than what your muscle feels. Your hand feels that the force is getting is increasing as you stretch the band more. And so that's what variable resistance is. You have this variable resistance that you feel while you're lifting with the bands that you don't feel with weights. So weights, you have a constant force on your hand.
Yeah.
And proponents of VRT will say that this is an advantage because now your muscle is getting, there's two advantages to this that they claim. So now your muscle is actually having to work in that spot where with weights it wouldn't, up top. You'd hear people say, oh, because your joint's at a mechanical advantage. And so it's easier for your hand to pull it that high, but then the band is heavier. So your muscle feels more force. So you're actually working the muscle more throughout. And I'm just focusing on VRT here.
There's the free weights. There's the other forms of weight, kettlebells, dumbbells. These are all constant resistance. And then variable resistance would be bands and what else?
Bands. There's also tubes, tube bands. There's also machines that use electromagnetics. When I was making a system initially, I considered that and decided against it because I didn't like that like fighting friction feeling. And as it's pulling back, it's like just not smooth. Whereas with a band, you know, it's always the same force. When you let go, it's very smooth. It's just relaxing as you're putting it down. So you feel force both as you're contracting and as you're letting go.
One of the major variables in resistance training is the time under tension or how long your muscle has force against it. And what it sounds like you're saying is that with free weights, because the muscle strength differs depending where in the lift you are, that you have uneven tension against it. So sometimes it takes more force to lift it and sometimes it takes less. And with the band, it's more, the force curve more closely matches where the muscle is strongest and weakness.
And I know it would be great for me to just say VRT is better because I'm selling equipment that uses VRT, but I'm not, that's not how I work. I don't lie to just sell stuff. So to me, the variable is just a different force curve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with weights, you can get different force curves too using pulleys.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a machine and you're pulling at a different angle, you're going to feel a different force curve on the muscle. For when you're doing a very simple movement like a bicep curl, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the science shows that what really matters is that you have force throughout the whole movement. So you have a full range of motion, you have constant tension throughout the whole range of motion, and you're pulling up and you're pulling down. That's like really important. And bands do that. Right? You have force the whole way. It's like a little less in the bottom, but whatever. You can load it up heavier so that you have enough force. Harambee system is built for that, which is why I'd say Harambee system sits between bands and weights. But there is this advantage of safety. Safety goes beyond the VRT with bands. There is this nice thing where, you know, the force ramps up as you're pulling and doing any movement, the force will ramp up. And so this ramping up of force allows you to stop if you can't handle it. So there's this, that's a real benefit of VRT is that the force ramps up. So you're like, oh, I can't do this. And you stop. Whereas with weights, you could pull really heavy and you can injure yourself immediately because you're jumping to like a heavy weight. And then there's one more thing. There's this thing called shock loading where, you know, if you take a 200 pound weight, drop it on your toe versus placing it on your toe. If you place the 200 pounds on your toe, it won't break it. But if you drop it from like 6 inches up, it will break your toe. And so there's this thing happening where with weights, you can feel a lot more force than what you're lifting. And this doesn't happen with bands. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow you go with bands. Bands will always just give you the force that it's rated. So you're never going to be shocked with this load.
Yeah.
And that's primarily many injuries come from this shock loading. I mean, people are doing a bicep curl and they go to the bottom and they just change the force immediately at the bottom. And you get a lot of bicep tears that way. You get pec tears. And that's something that'll never happen. I mean, I don't want to say never because you can't predict everything, but it's very unlikely to happen. because the shock loading doesn't happen. Once you tear a muscle, that's it. You're out for like 6 months. I mean, that's 6 months of lost training. That's yeah. disaster. So that won't happen. So I think that's a really big advantage of bands. Yeah. And also the space savings, but in terms of just lifting.
That's something that I often overlook, that if you get injured training, you just lost all your progress or a lot of your progress. So even if you don't get quite as much out of every session,
right,
if you're able to do that without getting injured over the long term, you're going to be way ahead.
Yeah. There's one thing everyone agrees on, and that's consistency is more important than anything else. Yeah. I mean, even more important than any program you pick or what you do. And I mean, diet's really important too, but I mean, aside from any of these things in terms of choice of equipment, even, I mean, consistency is more important than anything. So as soon as you hurt yourself, you've just lost the most important thing to training.
Yeah.
So you lost that consistency. And also it does something to you psychologically. Like you hurt yourself, or you're going to go back to resistance training. A lot of people stop. Mm-hmm. A lot of people start weightlifting, and then as soon as they like really hurt themselves and like can't move the next day, that's it. They'll like stop, and they'll never resistance train again, which is a disaster because it's so good for you.
Yeah. VRT, variable resistance training, wins in the safety category by a landslide. It also takes up less space. So back when I lived in New York City, I could fit that in my apartment under my bed. So that's a very easy thing to travel with. You can't really easily fit an Olympic barbell in the back of your car, or at least back of my car. So it's useful in that regard too. Safety, portability. What about time effectiveness? Because I know when I used to go to the gym a lot, I would often be there for an hour, hour and a half sometimes. It would really drag on. But when I started using Harambe, my workouts could not be that long simply because my muscle would be too fatigued way before that.
That's a really great point. And there's something about, and this also ties back to safety, that with bands, you can go to fatigue. So a lot of people say another really important thing is to get at or close to fatigue with every set in order to make that set count. And I think that's safer with bands because of the aforementioned reasons. That, you know, you don't have the shock loading, you don't have all of these other things. Whereas with weights, I mean, if you get closer to fatigue with weights, you might hurt yourself. Yeah. And also there's no one there, like you have to have someone there to really get to fatigue. You have to have someone there helping you in the last rep. Whereas with bands, you can just like push because it has this variable resistance. You can just continue pushing until you can't anymore and then just let go. And then the force goes away.
Yeah.
So you can take, so in that sense, I think there is a real advantage that you don't need someone there. You can just you can do every set to fatigue. And there is a lot of a back and forth on whether, you know, how, you know, what a volume is appropriate for anybody. And I think it's the same bands versus weights. The volume is dependent on the person, and it's just another way of overloading the exercise, meaning just making it harder so that you build more muscle. And everyone's at a different point with their volume. So as you're training and you might notice you start plateauing, you want to, you know, one way to get over that is instead of just making the resistance heavier, just increase the volume. So you'll add another hard set instead of one set of that movement. If you're interested in growing that muscle, some people don't want to grow certain muscles. So it's very personal at that point. But I think this idea that you can go to full fatigue with bands without help or anything is a big time saver. Of course, you don't have to commute to the gym, another big time saver. And if you're doing deadlifts and you want to load up 400 to 500 pounds, that takes a lot of time loading up all those weights. And like, whereas you load up two bands, it takes like less than a minute when you load up bands on the system. So that's another big time saver. You do have to be very careful though, if you're going from bands to weights because of the shock loading thing. If your muscles are not ready for the shock loading, you can tear stuff. You've been training with something that will always give you 400 pounds no matter what. In fact, with bands, if you jerk, like if you do this thing where you like start jerking, it actually reduces the weight. So, which is bad form. You shouldn't be jerking, but it makes it easier. So it actually protects you when you're doing that. Whereas with weights, if you do that, oh, that's very bad. You're very likely to hurt something.
When I moved to Austin from New York, I didn't have a gym nearby. I didn't have a car. And the nearest gym was like a 25-minute walk.
So it
sucked up a lot of time. So I immediately decided I want something at home and portable. So I actually got a pair of adjustable dumbbells, and then I got this system, and I have some blood flow restriction bands. And when I reviewed the science on it, it seems that the best approach is to combine both constant resistance and variable resistance. So I try and sprinkle in some of that, some of both.
Oh, that's great. I've also heard good things about blood flow restrictions, just a little scary.
The Katsu devices are the ones that are the go-to, the ones used by elite athletes and rehab clinics and doctors and everything, but they tend to be a bit more expensive. So unless you have the budget and you can, I recommend learning how to use BFR with someone who knows what they're doing, a skilled practitioner, and then eventually upgrading to Katsu if you can afford it.
Oh, it's so cool. I watched your video review of Harambe system. Very, very thorough, very good. And it was, now your story is really interesting. And it's also helpful for me to see stuff like that.
Now that we've explained a bit about what variable resistance is, how it compares and contrasts to constant resistance, now let's go into what the Harambe system, now there's multiple, so systems are. And let's assume that people cannot see the YouTube video that will accompany this. Let's try and describe it simply. I'll start off by giving my take of what it is, and you can correct wherever necessary.
Okay.
Basically, there's a foot plate that you stand on that has channels cut into it, and you wrap different resistance bands around, depending on if you want high resistance or low resistance, and those attach to a bar via a sling system. And then you stay on top of that platform and you do whatever lift you would do with free weights, but with this system that has a heavy duty bar. Add and elaborate wherever necessary there.
The main difference between the two bundles, we sell a K bundle and a T bundle. The bar that comes with it is different. And they're both heavy duty. They both can handle 1,000 pounds. They're both all stainless steel, which is the highest quality steel you can get in fitness equipment, because of the durability and the knurling is better with stainless steel. But they both can handle 1,000 pounds, both very strong.
They're rated to handle a ton of force, more than any of the other systems that I came across. And what else sets it apart? Why can't I just go to Amazon, buy a single band or two, and just use that in place of this whole system? Because it'd be a lot cheaper.
If you just hold a band in your hand and stretch it, there's one annoying thing that happens is that the latex can start pinching your skin. And that's really annoying because you want to get to full fatigue, which is kind of a painful thing for your muscle. But your body's like kind of a complicated thing. If you're feeling pinching from a band, your body's like, I can't take that anymore. You need to stop. And it'll actually have you stop before you fatigue the muscle just because you're ripping your skin off. And so that's an annoying thing. You definitely don't want that to happen. I mean, it's okay to do isolation stuff with bands. You could wear gloves. Okay, gloves will solve this problem. But then you have another problem is that you're pulling a band and you're holding some like kind of flexible material in your hand to pull it. And so that it's not this flexible, which is fine with really low weights. If you're doing like some isolation stuff, it's okay. But if you're doing something heavy, like let's say you want to do a deadlift. One way to try to do it with just bands is you pass the bands under your feet, hold two sides of it, and then do the deadlift movement as you would trap deadlifts. But then you're not doing like a bar deadlift, you're doing a trap deadlift, which is a different movement. But the main issue is, well, for one thing, the bands are now pulling your ankles and bending them. So if you want to get really heavy, which you probably want to with a deadlift, you want to go hundreds of pounds to really stress your whole body at once and get a real workout from it. You don't want to have to build muscle. With the bands, you risk not breaking your ankles, but like you can risk hurting your ankles because they're being like turned in an awkward way. And your body, of course, wants to protect itself again. So it's going to tell you to stop before you reach muscle fatigue. And then you're holding the bands, the bands themselves are flexing over your fingers and compressing them together, which is really uncomfortable. And it's another reason your body's going to tell you to stop before you hit full fatigue. So those are the main things, is that if you're pulling with a band, you can't pull as much force. You'll have to do really high reps. And the jury's out whether if you're doing 60 reps, whether you're actually building muscle that way. I think that the limit is 25 reps. If you're doing more than 25 reps, you're probably not building muscle. You're just building endurance. You know, for someone just starting out that's never lifted anything before, probably with bands, you'll get some gains. Your gains will stop very quickly, but you'll get some gains. And, you know, if someone's going to just work out, I encourage them to do that versus nothing. But, to take it to the next level, you have a bar. And there is a lot of research comparing now you need something between an interface between you and the bands. And we sell two interfaces. We sell a bar and we also sell handles. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the ideal resistance training program uses both. You have isolation movements and compound movements. And the best way to experience compound movements is to use a bar, in my opinion, because, and this is a little bit complicated to explain. If you're loading up, let's just talk about weights right now. If you're loading up an Olympic barbell with 300 pounds of weights and you're lifting it up versus two dumbbells and you're lifting it up. So you already notice that when you're lifting two dumbbells, there's this freedom, like your right arm can go down, go up. So you don't have this like tension that's locked in. And one thing you'll hear a lot of Olympic lifters say when they're lifting very heavy is the most important thing to lifting well and doing really heavy squats or deadlifts is that your whole body is tensed so that nothing moves. And so what the barbell does is it prevents there's no flexing of the barbell. You're not going to flex the barbell. Maybe just a little bit if you're lifting really heavy, like a tiny bout. But you're not really going to flex the barbell. So it's giving you that added security. And because of that, you can actually lift heavier. And so with compound movements, it's really important because you're hitting a lot of muscles at once and you want to stress them all really, really, really heavily. And so I think it's very important for growth. And there is data supporting this. They're really well done trials showing that lifting with a barbell does, and doing compound movements with a barbell leads to a lot of benefits. I mean, more muscle, it's less time to gain more muscle. It's like better on almost every metric. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would recommend using a bar for the compound movements. Now you handles for like isolation movements are great.
Yeah.
You don't really need them unless you're really trying to optimize how your body looks. So you want, for some reason you have a lagging muscle and you want to strengthen that. Isolation's great for that.
Yeah. Compounds should be the basis of every good workout routine programming anyway. So it makes sense to have a bar. Otherwise you'll be building endurance and not strength.
I agree. I totally agree. Weight has momentum. So it takes effort to move it to the right or left, even in the air, because it has momentum. Mm-hmm. You have to fight that. So it has this built-in stability. Weights have this built-in stability. Whereas if you have a band that's going to give you 200 pounds of tension and you're lifting it 6 feet in the air, there's nothing preventing you from going left and right with the band, right? Absolutely. I mean, the bar itself is like at most 13 pounds or something. So 13 pounds, you can move left and right. It gives you some stability, but nothing compared to 200 pounds of weight. So you actually are losing stability with bands. And so, which has an advantage. I mean, you're working your stabilizers out, but most people, when they do a chest press, want to work their pecs. They don't want to be working their lats and all these other supporting muscles. So having a bar adds more stability to the workout so you can target your primary muscles better.
And you can always take the bar off if you want to work your stabilizers more anyway.
That's right. And a lot of people do that. Like strongmen do that for sure.
We've now covered the bar. That was one differentiator between that and your average band you'll find on Amazon or elsewhere on the internet. And then there's also the foot plate. And that's another big differentiator that I discovered.
I mentioned this earlier, but if you stand on something, instead of standing straight on the bands, the foot plate is going to keep the bands flat. So it's like you're lifting weights on a flat surface versus having a band trying to bend your ankles. So that's the main advantage to having a foot plate. And a high quality, heavy foot plate like the one that we sell makes everything better. The only thing it doesn't make better is travel because you have a heavier plate you have to carry with you. But aside from that, it makes everything better because it gives you a stable footing. It's not something that'll ever flip on you. It's very big. It's, it's 24 inches wide. So you have space for a lot of squats. I mean, we can't do a sumo squat, but you can do like shoulder width squats. Yeah. Most people can. I mean, maybe there's some people that are really, really huge that can't, but almost everyone can do good squats on it. Has a lot of space. That's the main thing. It really protects you. And it lasts for a long time. It won't break.
Uh-huh. It protects you and it also protects the bands because I've gone through a bunch of bands previously before I had a foot plate. And I thought it was just part of normal wear and tear that they'd wear out every 6 months of regular use and you have to get new ones. They'd snap. And then I realized that if I have a foot plate that's engineered to prevent all that friction that's caused by using bands on metal or wood or other surfaces like that, that just eats away at them over time. Not only am I protecting my ankles and my other joints, but I'm also extending the life of the bands and getting a better force curve because I'm also able to use the different cross channels differently. I can, there's like what, three cross channels. So I can change the resistance by using the different channels, or I can sit down on my knees or sit down on my butt, and I can just do all different types of exercises with different resistances. And I can also even change the band. So there's a bunch of different ways to get very precise changes in the resistance.
Yeah, a lot of work went into that foot plate. A lot of work.
The slings. The slings are rather unique. And what are they, and why did you add slings into your design?
Before I designed Harambe system, there were three major ways to attach a band to a bar. One of them was to just pull the band over the bar. Another one was to attach a carabiner to the bar and then just put the band through the carabiner. The third way is to just attach some sort of hook to the bar and put the band through the hook. And I didn't like any of those ways of doing it. If you put the band on the bar, it's a lot of tension for one thing, and you can't stack the bands as well, because if you put a band on top of the bar, you put another band. Where do you put the other band? Where do you put the band on the bar? You lose this consistency of like how much force you're going to get. So I didn't like that. And also the bar won't rotate because the band is holding the bar, so you can't rotate the bar. So when you're doing something like a bicep curl or even a deadlift, I mean, you don't get the same kind of freedom with a rotation. With a bicep curl, it puts weird torque force on your wrist if it doesn't spin. And if you're going really heavy, it's kind of annoying. And then with deadlifts, it just doesn't spin at all. So it's sort of just stuck, which, you know, maybe someone likes, but I didn't like it. I mean, I prefer to recreate the barbell deadlift, which barbells spin. So you lose that. So it doesn't spin. And then you don't have the stacking. And with carabiners are just really annoying to load. it's you have to like open the latch, put the thing in there, not scratch your band as you're getting through the gate. There's just not that much space, and then you're attaching it back down. And usually most bars that have carabiners are attached via some sort of circle on the bar. So there's all this clanging, and like how it attaches to the circle matters. And then the metal is rubbing on metal. So it causes, over time, it'll wear the metal out. You have all these little things that go wrong with carabiner. But mostly the biggest thing for me is that it's very hard to load a carabiner. You have to unlock, put it on. And then there's a hook, which now you don't have the gate in the way anymore. You can just put the band through. So it's easier to load because you're just putting the band through. The issue though, is that with hooks, so if you look at a hook from the side, you know, it's attached to the bar on one side and it has an opening on the other side. So I like to describe that as not being symmetric. It's not the same on both sides. So it's attached on one side. This causes a couple problems. Because the hook is being turned and there's some torque on the bar, this can cause it to jerk unexpectedly in your hand. It also puts torque on the attaching point because you have a straight piece of steel that's being turned. And this is a problem that actually occurs with carabiners too. So what this does is it ends up putting this torque on the attachment point. It weakens the attachment point. So you've made something that now in like a year or two of constant use might break. Unless you're using the most highest quality components imaginable, which none of the other bars do this. Yeah. And because it's going to be astronomically expensive. But like the main thing in terms of using it is that it's going to be jerky. So let's say you're doing a bench press and you're at the top of your bench press and your wrist moves a little bit so that the bar rotates a little bit. Instead of just rotating a little bit, it might just like rotate a lot because it jerks. So this can cause it to like more easily snap out of your hand and hit you in the chest, which when I used bars with hooks and carabiners, this happened to me almost every week. I mean, it doesn't kill you because it's like a bar, there's no weights on it, but it's so annoying. And it actually caused like tendon damage to my thumbs. Like it took months for that to heal. It really set me back because it like pulls your thumbs back when the bar snaps out. It really hurts your thumbs. I mean, that was the main reason why I wanted another solution, was because this was not working for me. Yeah. And so I invented what Harambe uses, which is the sling system. Let me describe what it is. You essentially have a metal rod and you have two pieces of rope with loops. And it creates, when you attach it to the band, it creates a triangle that's completely closed off where the band is inside the triangle. So it's completely symmetric because it's a full triangle. And this has a lot of advantages. For one thing, it's geometrically very strong, because it's attached on both sides. So you can make the metal part as long as you want. It's also very easy to put stack bands in there because it's so big. So one thing that happens with hooks is because it's asymmetrically attached, and I didn't mention this. It's attached on one side. So you have, when you put force on a hook, all that force is going on the small piece of steel that's going up to the bar. And that turns out it's a lot, that's a lot of force. Because like, it's sort of like you know, when people pry open a door, you use like a tool that allows you to use torque to like break open the door. A hook is basically that. So if you make the hook longer, it's going to put a lot more stress on that small piece. So what that does is it restricts you to how big you can make that hook. If you see companies that sell a hook that's 4 inches long, in order to make a hook that big work, you'd have to make the steel like half an inch in diameter. It'd have to be huge. Which if you look, I mean, no one does that. They're generally like a third of an inch. They're really small. So what they have to do is they have to make the hooks very small. And so if you have big bands or a lot of bands, it doesn't give you enough space to actually put them in there so that after you load the bands, you can slide the band around the hook. Slings are way stronger than hooks, just because of the geometry.
A couple of the big things are that compared to the other attachment styles, the slings reduce the chances of the bar shifting when it's under load and you hurting yourself. That's it reduces right. The chances of breaking something under load, especially as you increase or the hook becomes longer. So
that's right.
Your equipment will last longer. And there's one other one.
This advantage of not having torque on the bar also makes the spin very smooth. I said this was a safety feature, but it's also a quality of life feature.
It gives you a better workout too when it's smooth versus jerky and it's loading you more 1 second and less the next.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, hooks do have the advantage. If you have a really small band, it's easier to just put the band in the hook. But as soon as you have bigger bands, I mean, it like saves, I think someone timed it once. Maybe it saves like a minute over your whole workout.
I was curious how long it would take to change. And so for a couple workouts, I timed myself to see how long I could change out the bands and then compared it to free weights. And it was, I could change a band between 5 to 10 seconds using the Harambe system. And when I did free weights, depending on how heavy I was going, it could be between 7 or 8 seconds and up to like a minute if I'm really packing on a bunch of weight.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day that, you know, with weights, you have to lift up 45 pounds over and over again.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's added volume to your routine.
Yeah, yes.
Like if you really want to like recreate a weights workout with bands, you got to take into account that you're also lifting 45 pounds over and over again, possibly in weird contorted ways.
I was just thinking about this yesterday as I carried 245 pounds with Olympic plates. So I was farmers walking with them. And I'm like, this should count towards the volume of my entire workout.
Right. Yeah. So if someone's just doing a full band workout, someone's doing a full weight workout, the full weight guy's doing more work.
Yeah.
They're lifting all this stuff. It's not fair. If you want to compare, you have to like also do.
Let's talk about how you use the system now and what a workout would look like. And is it used in different ways or is there like a standard protocol that you recommend for people?
I tried to make the equipment as flexible and versatile as possible. So that whatever your workout, if you have an established routine, chances are you can adapt your routine to Harambe system and do the same routine. So that's, I did that. I don't think there's only one correct way to do everything, especially since the science changes all the time. We get more data like that will change how we look at things. To be so dogmatic about only one thing working all the time just doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm open to all different ways of doing things. I can tell you how I do things. And how it's worked for me. I started resistance training with bands about 2.5 years ago. So I started at 162 pounds, but I never like bodybuilt before. I never really resistance trained much. And so this was a whole new thing to me. And when I started, I just wanted to maintain. I was just like, I need to work out. COVID hit, I have a son. I need to be the kind of dad that you know, he looks up to, someone that works out. I want him to work out too. I wasn't planning on making bodybuilding a whole career. But anyway, it happened. So I started resistance training at the beginning. I think when I first started resistance training, the first 7 weeks I had fantastic gains. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think I was doing two things. I was resistance training with some competing bar, band bar. And I was doing sandbag workouts. So I was like throwing a bag around a lot. And so I stopped that at 7 weeks. My gains just immediately stopped. I started losing muscle actually after 3 weeks. I was like noticing that I just wasn't increasing anymore. when I stopped that. And I was like, what's going on? And I was in these Facebook groups, and now a good friend of mine, I met this guy named John Farrow, super jacked, really buff. He did it all with bands. And I wrote him out of the blue just saying, you know, I noticed that, and he seemed like a really honest guy. I was like, what worked for you? Like, this is not working for me. I'm not getting muscle. People tell me I should be fasting in order to optimize muscle growth. So I was fasting and I was doing all this stuff. And he was like, well, the first thing you need to do is stop fasting. Like this, you know, you're fasting for 24 hours, you're losing muscle. Like, you need to stop doing that. He's like, you know, fast for like 18 hours. Don't fast for like 24 hours. That's, you're just losing. That's a good way to lose weight. Yeah. Muscle. It's not a good way to gain muscle. And I wanted to gain muscle. I was like a light guy. I was 162 pounds. Yeah. So I started, I stopped the fasting, and he's like, you need more volume. Like, add push-ups and pull-ups. You need to like do more sets, you know, hit the muscles in different ways, add these routines. You can still do one set to failure. Just make sure you're hitting the muscle multiple times. And he suggested this like different routine that I adopted, which is basically a higher volume routine. And so I added volume to it. And within 7 weeks, I was gaining muscle again. I was getting wrist problems. I was getting shoulder problems. I was having problems with squats because the foot plate that came with that system was like really narrow. Yeah. So I was having all these problems. And so I needed something different. So I basically invented Harambe system. It took 4 months. I showed it to some friends. So John Farrow and these people, and they're like, wow, this is like such a great system. We want one. And so I started giving people systems. I like gave a couple people systems, and I was like, maybe I should be trying. I mean, this is costing me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because I was using really high quality materials because I like to have stuff that I know will last. And I'm very, you know, if I'm going to give someone something to use, I'm not going to give them something that has any chance of breaking. That's just not how I work. I'm not going to. Yeah. So I used really high quality materials. I wanted stuff that lasts. I mean, we have 10-year warranties because, I mean, our stuff will last longer than 10 years. Yeah. So I made this long bar, and then I have a friend that's a lawyer, and they're like, you need to make a company to protect yourself. Like, what if something happens and like someone like attacks someone with a bar? Are you liable? Like, who's liable for that? You don't want to lose everything you own. So I made an LLC. And then the next thing I know, a lot of people were asking me in these groups for the product. And so I set up a website, and then yeah, everything's just a group in there. But I'm sorry, I'm digressing from the workout program, which is currently what I'm doing is a mixture of high volume and low volume training. So I do a high volume training for 6 weeks, and then I cycle with a low volume training for 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I go 6 weeks, 2 weeks cycling. And that's been working really well for me. I haven't been plateauing. I've been doing that for a while now. It's been like 2 years of that. And I was 162 pounds when I started. I went up to about 171 pounds in the first 7 weeks. Wow. So, I had really great, that first part with the sandbag, I gained a lot, but then I was like, I hurt myself. And then I started growing again. I mean, now I'm 194 pounds, and I'm still pretty lean. I think I'm more lean than when I started.
Wow.
But I did do bulk phase, and I am currently in a cutting phase. So I bulked over 200 pounds, and then I've been very slowly cutting. I did very slow bulk for like a year, a consistent slow bulk for a year. Mm. And then I've been cutting lately, but I still do this. I do this high volume and then low volume periods. The low volume period is our basic Harambe system PPL program, the push, pull, legs program. And then the high volume program is what we call the Haram Bro split. It's like it's a mixture of the bro split and some Menster style training. The idea is to use Menster style training, so one set to fatigue, to just keep muscles pumped and so that they're always in active recovery. Mm. So you're not like completely destroying the muscle. The muscles do need time to recover. It's important for growth. Okay. So this program does that, but it's like every day it hits like a certain muscle group really hard, and the rest of the time it's hitting them lightly. It's been really great. John Farrow helped me write that program.
I see.
So I'm going like high volume and then low volume, that cycling. And that's, it's been working really well.
One thing I'm curious about, I guess it depends on how far you're taking it. If you're taking each set to fatigue or failure, but is there a general recommendation on how long to rest in between sessions of Harambe versus, or I guess variable resistance, as opposed to free weights?
I think it's the same. It's the same amount. But you know, it really, there is the main difference is bands. And I think this is very important. If you're going to take a weight training routine and adapt it to bands, don't expect one-to-one transfer. Variable resistance does change the movement and what muscles it hits. This is not so important for isolation movements. If you're doing a bicep curl, you're hitting the bicep curl. That's pretty straightforward. The issue is if you're doing like a squat or a deadlift, it really does hit the muscles that are, it changes the muscles that are being hit. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, if you're doing a back squat with Harambe system, a back squat, the tension, it's heavier later in the movement versus earlier in the movement. So what this transfers to is your quads are going to be worked more than your hamstrings and glutes in a back squat with bands. So you have to take that into account in your routine. You have to have some other way of hitting your hands and glutes. But this is great because with deadlifts, you have the opposite effect. If you work the top part, you're actually hitting your glutes and hamstrings harder and not hitting your quads as much. And it's also hitting your spinal erectors pretty hard.
Yes.
That's also a big back workout.
Yep.
So you have to take that into account that these compound movements are going to hit certain muscles differently with bands. And so our workout routines take that into account. Aside from that difference, the rest is about the same. If you're doing like isolation movements, it's good to rest between 2 and 5 minutes for isolation movements. Maybe err towards 5 minutes if you're doing compound movements so your overall system can recover. I think it's important to rest unless you're doing drop sets, but there's a reason. And the Harambro split does have drop sets where you're actually trying to suffocate the muscle. But that's like built into the programming that you're like, for some things, it's just like really long sets. It's almost like you're trying to recreate the effect of blood flow restriction.
Yeah.
By suffocating the muscle by not letting it rest, but hitting it with smaller weight. Now, there isn't that much science on this, but I think it works really well. I've been responding really well to it. I'm beyond 2 years of training. So I think that's usually you plateau at like 2 years and I haven't plateaued yet.
That's something that I like to do also. I like to combine Harambe with either blood flow restriction, or katsu, whatever you want to call it, or also super slow strength, Doug McGuff style workout where it's 90 second sets, 10 second reps, yeah, up and down, and just constant time under tension. And that's a similar thing where the muscle really fatigues or even towards the end should fail. So that's been one that I notice. And after that, the next day, especially when I haven't used it in a while, I feel different soreness than I do from the same or similar lifts with free weights in the gym.
Yeah, that's how I made these programs. Actually, for a while, I did a really crazy high volume routine and I spaced it out so that I was resting enough to where I could feel a lot of soreness. And the idea was I was trying to see what muscles were hit by certain movements with bands. So I would do like 6 sets of bicep curls or 6 sets of like squats and then take a really long rest and do it again. And I recorded what muscles were hit. Yeah, I agree with that. So that's the main thing. You have to be careful, you know, and people really have to be careful about that because if they just take their weight programming adapted to bands and not realize that everything's being hit differently, the routine's no longer as optimal. It might not work as well for them, but they're missing out on the fact that like, maybe their back squats was how they worked glutes, which with weights, people do this. I mean, they work their glutes and hamstrings with back squat, but then they're going to start losing muscle in their glutes and hamstrings if they're not working them out anymore.
It's always smart to start slow. And after you see how your body responds, then you can increase or adapt however you want to increase the training stimulus.
Yeah.
Khalid, we're running low on time now, so I have a couple more questions before we hit the rapid fire round and then call it a day.
Okay.
So the first is, if people want to try Harambe themselves, they want to get one of these systems, implement it into their lives, put it under their bed, bust out a 20-minute workout without having to commute, how do they find you and your systems online?
HarambeSystem.com. That's HARAMBESYSTEM.com. That's the best way.
And are you on the socials?
I am, yeah. The company has an Instagram account, Harambe System, no space. If you just search in Instagram for Harambe System, you'll find us. We're also on TikTok. We also have a very active Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, search for Harambe System, join our Facebook group. I'm active on the Facebook group. I try to run a live Q&A once a week on the Facebook group so people can really connect with me there. I like to stay connected with my customers. Those are the best ways. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I will put links to all of these in the show notes. And Khalid has been generous enough to offer my audience a discount. So if you use the code URBAN, I believe that'll save you either 10 or 15% on their systems.
15%. Yeah.
15%. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, Khalid, if there is a burning of the books and all knowledge on Earth is gone, you get to save three resources. What would you choose and why?
That's such a hard question. Oh my gosh. Because I use so many different things. You know, in this company, you know, I do the engineering, I do the web design, I do programming and everything. So I end up using many resources from many different books. I could say who my favorite scientists are, probably Marie Curie, Friedrich Gauss. If Marie Curie is a scientist, Gauss is a mathematician. And I guess Charles Darwin for biology. Those are my favorite scientists. But each one of them has many books. There are many books to cover the stuff that they did. Yeah. Well, so I can't answer that one.
Is there a single book or books that you give out most often?
Oh yeah. If you look as a professor, when someone's starting out their career and they're interested in the sciences, I'll give them Richard Feynman's lectures on physics.
Yeah.
That was the one thing where I would tell them this, you need to read this. This has everything to get you started.
We'll do a quick rapid fire round now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What area of your own health and performance are you currently working on?
Having a good diet. That's my main thing. Improving my diet, making time for cooking. I think it's really important. More whole foods. Uh-huh.
What do the haters of Harambe or variable resistance training in general say?
Bands don't work and you have to only use weights. Everyone seems to think bands don't work.
Likewise, are there any myths around it? It sounds like it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, the myth is that bands don't work, but resistance is resistance. Your muscles can't tell the difference. There's a lot of data backing that up. They've done large scale studies where people, you know, trained for a couple months using weights and using bands, and they noticed the same strength gains using bands or using weights. Yeah. That's a big myth of training. Mm-hmm. Also, another really big myth is that you can gain muscle by starving your body. Like removing nutrients from your body to gain muscle. I think that's a big myth. Right? Yeah. Your body is like a flower. It's not going to bloom unless it's in optimal conditions. And if you're starving it, you know, not hydrating it, it's not going to grow.
Since your systems are north of $500, what's been the best life-changing purchase under $500?
Oh, for me? I would say there are some supplements that have been fantastic for me. Vitamin D and magnesium, oh, that's a big one. Magnesium has been really great. I have migraines and that's changed so much for me. Magnesium, vitamin D, creatine. I actually find creatine gives me a lot of energy during my workouts. I really am a big fan of creatine and caffeine. Without caffeine, I'm nothing. I cannot function. Yeah. So those things, notice protein is not in this list. Mm-hmm. Let's say, because I feel like you can get protein from natural sources.
Yeah.
And it's more than easy enough to get all your protein needs from natural sources. So.
Yeah. And I think what's really fascinating is the emerging research around creatine as a nootropic and other non-athletic performance benefits.
What do you mean by nootropic? I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
Oh, mind enhancer, like staves off cognitive illness. And because it improves like nutrient delivery throughout the body, it's being now investigated for all kinds of other things that are unrelated to its foundation as a sports performance supplement.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like it's just a matter of time. It's going to be included in, you know, these supplements where it's like one a day.
Yeah.
Soon they're going to have creatine in there because it has all these other benefits.
Exactly. What's one thing the Harambe tribe does not know about you?
I initially was an artist. That was before I became a mathematician. Most people know I'm a math professor and that like I'm a math professor turned to fitness. But initially I was an artist. Up until my second year of college, I thought I was going to be, you know, a studio artist painting things. It was a math professor that came up to me and told me, it was like, you know, math is very similar to art and it's more likely to get you money. So you might want to consider doing this. I think you can make a living. And I was like, oh, I love math. So I like switched. But art, and it's sort of, you can tell this in a lot of things I do, that like art is, even the way I did mathematics, I was more of an artist than than someone that was just an engineer. I mean, not that, I mean, engineers are great. And engineers also can be artists, but I don't want to talk to engineers.
Cool. How would you like to leave the audience? Is there anything in particular?
If there's anything you get from this, resistance training is really good for you. It's medicine. If you're not resistance training, please look into adding resistance training into your life. It doesn't have to be with Harambe system. But if you make that step, and the first step is so hard to start, you know, putting your health first and putting time for yourself, it's worth it. You will be able to help others better after you do that. So, I mean, my main takeaway I hope people get from this is, you know, resistance training is very, very important. And, you know, you could do that with bands if you wanted to, but, you know, please just do it.
Perfect. Well, Khalid, thank you for your time today. I'm also a huge proponent of muscle-centric medicine, and it's always great to connect with someone who's helping change the world and getting people more fit, more active, so they can reach out and help their own family, their community, their friends.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate your time. This has been great.
I'm Nick Irvin, here with Khalid Bourabi, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.